Well, good morning and welcome everyone, Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, Georgia. Thank you for those that are tuning in and watching. I want to go ahead and lead things off this morning by way of just letting everybody know that we're going to have a little different routine this morning, which is good, and we'll confuse the devil anyway. This morning, we're going to have the ladies. They're going to come around in just a few moments, and they're going to sing a couple, and we have a special. And Brother Joe, in just a moment, is going to lead us in a congregational. And Brother Allen, he was headed into the church this morning, a little stuffy in the head, you know, sneezed a couple times, things like that, seasonal stuff. But he called and said, what should he do? And so I said, just going back home and to be cautious. And he said, well, I was thinking the same thing, just because that's what he'd been sharing with the church, along with myself, is that if you're sick or feel sick, any kind of symptoms along those lines, to just stay home. And so we sprang into action this morning and put our heads together. And I believe we got a pretty good service lined up this morning. And who all came to worship the Lord this morning? Say amen. Amen. So let's do just that and worship the Lord. I'm going to pray, and then Brother Joe's going to come around and lead us in a congregational called Love Lifted Me. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, and we thank you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, we say that so many times, but we mean it every time we say it, that you are a good God. You're a God who's aware, and because of that, Lord, we can be at peace today. No matter what goes on politically, no matter what takes place in our world, in our lives, we know that you are in charge, still on the throne, and we're forever thankful for that. I pray this morning that you would be with the service, be with the singers. Give us a special touch this morning, O Lord. We've come together to worship. Lord, let us be energized by that special touch. Let us be changed by that special touch. And let us be different, Lord, by the touch that we're praying for this morning. If there's someone here that doesn't know you personally, let today be the day of salvation. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Joe.
Everybody get a congregational book and turn to page 265. And y'all stand with us. On the last stand-up, I don't do choir like Brother Allen does, but on the last where we go love, we're going to hold it. I'm going to hold my hand up. Everybody get a big breath, and we're going to sing Love Lifted Me on the last verse. All three verses. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his presence sing. Love so mighty and so true bears my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. His love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All right. Well, what a blessing it is to know that Jesus lifts us out of the angry waves of life. And I'm glad that love lifted me back in 2002. And I've been trying to do my best to be a carrier of that love ever since. And so we praise the Lord for the kind of love that is unconditional toward usward. And Jesus is our hope this morning, isn't He? He is our hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. I do want to mention a couple things this morning, like we normally do, as far as prayer requests and updates. Good to see Brother Seelong with us this morning. And recently, his brother John, which I knew very well, went home to be with the Lord. And I wanted to mention, I sent out a column post yesterday, but I wanted to mention again those services. Visitation will be tomorrow, the 9th, at Floyd Road Baptist Church from 5 to 8 p.m. And the funeral will be Tuesday there at the church at 11 a.m. I do want to say, as Brother Seelong asked me to communicate to everyone, to you know, number one, we all want to be there for one another during these times when loved ones go on to be with the Lord. But he wanted me to communicate to everyone to don't feel obligated. Don't put yourself in danger. He's understanding of the current times we're living in and the exposure to the coronavirus. And we're all sensible of that. We know that we're dealing with a pandemic. And so please know that Brother Seelong will not be offended if some do not come. But do remember the family, Miss Thelma being the wife of Brother John, and the children, grandchildren, Brother Seelong, Miss Catherine as well. Just remember them in your prayers if you would. Let's remember Brother Jim Daly as he is continuing a battle with his breathing. And just not a good time right now for him with the pandemic going on and already having these pre-existing conditions of having breathing trouble. So, Brother Jim, if you're watching, we're praying for you. Miss Dawn, we love you guys. Also, it's good to see Miss Joanne Rich with us this morning. But she left us with a prayer request before church. That little Bentley is not doing all that well. He's lost a lot of weight, I think, and just several doctor visits and tests and things. So let's pray for little Bentley this morning. Again, let's continue to pray for a specific unspoken that was called in to me about a week ago. Just a dire need of intervention from God on a situation. Any other unspokens this morning? Raise your hand. God knows the heart, but sees the hand for sure. And we all see the hands raised so that we all can come together and pray for one another. Let's remember these unspoken requests. Brother Harold's with us this morning, and he gave some good news that his follow-up of his watchmaker procedure went well, but the follow-up went just as good. And so I believe he's off of a medication. And or head in that direction at least. But let's remember Brother Harold in our prayers. Let's remember America. Let's remember our land. We're going to mention some things in the message this morning about that. We're going to stay in the biblical realm. We will have to mention some politics, but let's remember our land. As Fox News and other news outlets have been saying, the needle didn't go in our direction. But God's still on the throne. The Lord is definitely in charge. And let me just share a verse with you right before I pray. We have a new president, and he's a Democrat, he's a liberal. But Proverbs, take encouragement, church, out of this verse. Proverbs 21:1 says this: "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." You know, in Bible days, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, but then he softened the heart of Pharaoh. And no matter who's in office, the heart of that leader, that king, is in the hand of the Lord. And although the needle didn't go, the overall results didn't go in the favorable direction we wanted, God still is in control of that man's heart. So we will pray for our president. We will pray for our land. But more than that, we can go to sleep at night and not stress or be full of anxiety, because the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. And hey, listen, we wanted God's will to be done, ultimately, above, you know, the fact that we wanted Trump. I wanted Trump to be elected, but sometimes God does other things. He answers in different ways. He's in control, though, and the heart of our president is in his hands. So we'll pray for his protection, his leadership. That's all I want to say at this time about politics. But let's pray this morning. Remember offering at the end of the service, and remember the singing part of the service as well. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. We're thankful that you're on the throne. We're thankful that you're in charge. We pray, Lord, as we stop and pause for a moment in this service, that you'll speak to us. Be with the ladies as they sing. Lord, I pray that the service this morning would be an oasis to all of us who believe in you. Let us be refreshed. Anoint us all afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit, that we may have power to serve you, power to be faithful, Lord, power to just keep a steady, sober mind, Lord, sound mind. We love you this morning. We're thankful for who you've touched. But God, this morning we do pray for Thelma Plemons. We pray for Brother Ceylon, the family. Lord, we wish that John was here with us. But Father, you know our bounds. You know that those bounds are set. And Father, you could take any one of us at any given time. And so, Lord, this morning we just lift up the family, the Plemons family, and ask for grace that you would touch them in these coming days. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. Meet with us in a mighty way this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies.
Just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged cross where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He is good even in the valley. world of misery.
praise the Lord for the promises of the Lord this morning. And appreciate him. Appreciate all the songs this morning. Thank you, ladies. Wonderful job for Jesus. 1 Timothy this morning, chapter number 1. And I want to use verse number 18 as a launching pad for the message this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 18. I will ask you this morning if you would indulge me for a while before we get into the message. My heart is heavy this morning for our country. Has been heavy since the election had started. And we're going to do our best this morning to kind of just vent the right way, but also try to be an encouragement for us as believers living in such a time we're living in. But 1 Timothy chapter number 1, I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read verse number 18. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. I'm so grateful for the talent we have here at Calvary. Lord, I pray that you would bless those that minister through music this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would bless me now. Father, gird up the loins of my mind and help me to stay focused on the message this morning. Lord, I pray that your people would be encouraged as a result of this service. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. New Testament book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. I want you to notice verse number 18. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, notice this phrase, mightest war a good warfare. Paul is telling young Timothy here to war a good warfare. And in order for Timothy to war a good warfare, means that he has to have a battle plan. He has to have a battle plan. And let me just say that as we move forward as the church of God and move forward as a nation, if we too are going to have a good warfare, then we got to have a battle plan. Seeing how the election went and seeing what this pandemic has done and continues to do, and seeing the direction our country will be heading in, we have just got to have a plan. We've got to have a battle plan. This morning, let me say that me personally, it pains my heart to think about the fact that our children may not experience the kind of America that I did personally growing up, anything less than a move of God. If you have children this morning, anything less than a move of God, the kind of America you knew and grew up to, our children will never know. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom this morning, but I will say I'm very concerned as to where we're at as a people in this nation. Let me just say this. As a child in school, we would pray and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember skate nights at Sparkles in Smyrna. I remember watching the Braves game in my grandmother's living room with a packed out stadium. Nothing about not going to the games now because of a virus. I remember my grandmother's doors and car doors, house doors and car doors, were never locked. They were always unlocked. The holidays were always cheery. I remember waking up on Saturday mornings when I was a child, and my goal was to watch cartoons and have a good Saturday. I remember leaving middle school and even high school, and on Friday nights, my grandmother would take us by Blockbuster Video and go home and order a pizza. I remember as a kid growing up, this is the America I have been used to. I remember growing up as a kid and playing in the woods, playing in the creeks, and learning how to drive on Austell Road. That's my America I grew up in. Going to the movies with my friends and then asking my grandmother or my mother right after, could we have company that night? I mean, you know, no planning at all. Yeah, come on, come to the house. That's the America I'm used to. I remember passing by that great big old church on East West Connector in my lost teen years called Floyd Road Baptist Church. I would pass by that church drinking alcohol and smoking, and just looking at that church, at the bigness of it, only to get saved and start going there. I remember it was at Floyd Road Baptist Church where I said my first amen, and I taught my first Sunday school lesson, preached my first sermon, was right there in that great big old church. I never thought in those days, or in my early 20s, 20s in general, that I would ever have to be concerned over our nation and the direction we're heading in. But I want to say this morning, outside of a move of God and outside of heaven influencing hearts of those in leadership, we're in for some very challenging times, church. Very, very challenging times. Again, I want to try to equip this morning. It would be one thing if I were to say we're in for some dark days and close the Bible up and go home. That's not the right way to do it. But I want to say this morning that unless there's a move of God, unless the church of God takes a stand, then we're in for some very dark days, challenging days. But I want to say this because I said it when I first opened up the service this morning. In spite of the presidential outcome, and I found out yesterday about 1 o'clock. I don't know why I was shocked. I was just shocked. But in spite of that outcome, Proverbs 21 and verse number 1 is what I'm hanging my hat on. Because it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. We can take that as Bible principle and say that anybody in leadership, especially over the United States of America, and any kind of leadership, that their heart, they may think they're in charge. They may even lead a little in their position the way they want to go. But ultimately, their heart is in the hand of God. And God can change his heart. I believe that. God can move on his heart. And God can do amazing things in the life of our president. And he is our president. It's biblical. We're to pray for him. But God can move on his heart and do awesome and mighty things. I'm clinging to that verse this morning. But saying all of that, we have to have a plan. We have to have a battle plan. This morning, I want to take that thought, that idea, and preach a few moments on the believer's battle plan. The believer's battle plan. Again, Paul told Timothy here that I want you to war a good warfare. And we know that if anybody is going to be in any kind of war or battle, you got to have a plan. The person that doesn't have a plan is just aimlessly going through life and hoping to win. We as God's children, we've read the back of the book. We know we're going to win. Those of us that are saved, we know that we're going to heaven. But we have some grounds to cover before we get there. We have a path to trod before we trod right on through those pearly gates. We got to have a battle plan this morning. I want to begin mentioning four things. Four things that are on this battle plan that I brought together. There's many other things you can incorporate. Some of them you might tailor-make for you and your needs, but I think generally these four things that are on this battle plan are the things that I believe that we will do well to do and observe and try to accomplish each and every day as we move forward as a nation with a new president and everything that follows that new president. Number one, the believer's battle plan has to do with staying connected to Jesus. In our battle plan, you've heard these things before, but in this battle plan, church, we have got to stay connected to Christ. We're going to need a supernatural inner strength to continue on in this world as we move forward as a nation. Listen, I've already heard on TV about transgenders and about lesbians that's already been elected in a type of office in other states. And listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because our nation, outside of a move of God, outside of a heavenly influence upon the hearts of these liberals, we're headed for some dark days. We can't rely on one another's walk with God for us to walk with God. I can't rely on Christy. I can't rely on Brother Ceylon's walk with God. I can't rely on Brother Harold's walk with God as we move forward as a nation. I've got to have a fastened, close walk with Jesus. We're headed for some times that are dark. We're headed for some times that are dangerous. We all have to have a supernatural growing of passion for Jesus on the inside. If you've never had a consistent prayer life, start now. If you never read the Bible regularly, start now. Make it, listen, it is priority now to get on our knees and pray. It is priority now that we bathe ourselves, bathe our families, bathe our church and our world in prayer. We must pray, church. In fact, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Peter, that the judgment will begin first at the house of God. We hold the truth. We hold the words of life. We're gospel representatives. Not just me, but all of us. And so if we hold the words of life, if we're gospel representatives, then we are going to have a close walk with Jesus in order for us to project Jesus. We are going to have to pray and stay in that prayer closet till you feel that peace overwhelm you. Stay there. There's times where I go into my prayer closet, Brother Ceylon, and I go with a heavy heart. I mean, there's things on my heart that I want to be gone. And there's times where I go in there and I pray and I leave and that burden is still there. You know what that tells me? Not enough time in prayer. Not enough time in prayer. Because we serve a God that works supernaturally on the inside of us. And He tells us to cast every care on Him, for He cares for us. And so we know this morning there is help at the foot of the cross. And we've got to get in our prayer closet and we've got to stay there until we have peace. You see, it's kind of hard living for Jesus and moving forward in this world if we don't have the presence of peace with us. Now Jesus is peace, and positionally we're connected to Him by the new birth, and so we've got peace with God. But the peace of God, we've got peace with God, but the peace of God sometimes is a battle to get. And I want to say this morning, if we are going to forge forward in this world, we have got to pray. We have got to have private prayer, and we've got to have public prayer. We have got to grab hold of the horns of the altars and ask God to bless us, ask God to enable us, ask God to help us be the dads and husbands that we can be, the leaders of our home. Listen, it's time to stand. It's not time to fall this morning. We've got to pray. There's been times that I prayed where I knew I could not go any further. And guess what? I walked away. Problem was still there. But I was, where'd my worry go? Where's my worry at? Sometimes I'd get worried because I wasn't worrying. You're really wrapping up into a hard spot then. But there's been times that I would pray and troubled about something, needing direction in an area. And I would go and I would pray. And I mean, my everything was in God's mercy. Everything. And I've understood and realized in my years as a believer, if I do my very best not to be flippant about my prayer life, but if I do my very best to enter into His throne in brokenness and absolute reliability upon Him, no doubt God will move in our behalf. I do think that the way things are going, it's moving us to a consistent prayer life. You know, a lot of times we do our best praying when we're in trouble. Think about Jonah. When did he pray? He ran from the Lord. When did he pray? Out of the fish's belly. Out of the fish's belly. And he went on to describe that experience. He said, it was hell. Out of the fish's belly, I cried. He uses the word hell there. He was in a very bad place, lowly place. But he says, I will yet look up to His holy temple. We know that sometimes when we approach trouble in life, we do our best praying. When Paul had the thorn in the flesh, he cried out at least three times and asking God for it to depart. But then finally, he got an answer to continue with his thorn. And that was most gladly therefore. Or at least Jesus says, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Prayer can change things, can change us. We have new leadership in the White House, and it's going to be that way for 4 years unless these recounts, unless all these things work together. And I'm thinking even if that happens, we may be on the brink of a war here in America, like a world war. There'll be so much violence and protesting. And I'm not saying I'm good with who we have. What I'm saying is I know who has who we have. Jesus, that other backdrop we have, says God is still on the throne. He's the one in charge. But to bring all this back this morning, we've got to have a battle plan. And our battle plan has to do with staying connected to Jesus. Let me share this with you. Doubt and fear, anxiety, worry, depression, all of these things are emotions that the devil uses to paralyze believers. Doubt and fear, worry, anxiety, depression, all of these things are emotions that the devil uses to paralyze us. Isn't that something? And I can't think of the most debilitating thing to have the resurrected Jesus inside of my heart and yet live a life of defeat because of the circumstances. I've got anxiety, fear, and worry. There's nothing more debilitating in life. Nothing more weakening as a believer to know that you have the power to overcome, but yet worry is defeating me. Yet anxiety and fear is on the throne of my heart. There's nothing more debilitating than that, is to be a Christian and live defeated. And the devil, sure enough, this morning, he uses all kinds of emotions to paralyze us. But this morning, we need to, because of that truth, we need to stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Him. Now, assuming everyone in here is saved. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, you need to get the initial connection to Jesus. And that is through the new birth. That is when you come and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for me. I know you was buried. On the third day, you rose again. You paid for my sin and the sins of the world. Lord, right here, right now, I don't want to die in my sin and go to a devil's hell, but I accept what you did for me on the cross as my payment for sin. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not expressing no easy believism, but what we're saying is if you recognize that you are a sinner and you turn to Christ, there is that element of repentance that's involved. You say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've sinned. But I choose now to turn to you and embrace righteousness so that I can go to heaven and also learn your perfect will for my life while I'm here. And so that right there is, that's the getting on station with Jesus. And that's how you meet him. And then, assuming everyone here and those watching have already done that, needs to stay connected to him. Don't allow any length of time to lapse. Days, weeks, months, God forbid years, to lapse without having some quiet time with Jesus. Listen, we need it every day. I'm not telling you something you don't know. But me personally, I know that my spiritual power, my spiritual ability to be an overcomer in a practical way, it kind of wanes when I don't take in my daily bread. It wanes. And when doubt and fear and worry come in, I'm waning in my spiritual walk. Not to say we don't experience those things, but what I'm saying is a regular walk with God, spending time in prayer. God doesn't want us to live a life of fear. God doesn't want us to be anxious, be overladen with worries and cares. He wants us to come into his throne room and allow him to lift our load. This morning, we've got to stay connected. One way of doing that is by praying, you know that. Also by reading our Bibles. And listen, I'm going to be honest and transparent here. If you are only taking in Sunday mornings, those watching as well, as your daily bread, you're going to be sick spiritually. You are going to experience spiritual drought like no other. Now, Sunday mornings, there ought to be teaching and preaching. Wednesday, there ought to be teaching and preaching. Sunday nights as well, whether it's on Facebook or in person, there ought to be the Word of God presented from church. Wherever, that's a safe place. But that's not to supplement the whole 7 days of our week. That's 3 days out of seven. I'm not a smart man, but I think that there's four more days. You have 7 days, you knock down three, at least four. If that's not right, I need to go back to school. Thank you, Brother Larry, for nodding. A lot's going through my mind, but there's four other days that if we do not fortify ourselves, then we are leaving a door open for the enemy. We are leaving our hearts open for these emotions that come, doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, all anger, all of those emotions. We are leaving 4 days open a week to say, I'm strong enough, all I need is three. And listen. This is the direction we head in. Nobody's perfect. We can't just stay at the table and read the Bible 24/7. But at least when we're going about our day, let the Word of God be our meditation. Let it at least cross our minds and then just say a prayer and then build on that. A little longer time next time. And then you build on that one. And then a little bit longer time in prayer today. And then you build on that one, and then before you know it, you have a steady diet of God and his Word. And I want to say, we have never been this way as a nation before, not this far, to my knowledge. And if we're going to make it, if we're going to survive, we're going to make it. But if we are going to survive, then you can't rely on my walk with God solely, and I can't rely on your walk with God solely. I've got to have my own walk with God. And so we see that we're to be connected. We are, the battle plan is to be connected to Jesus. Praying, reading. But I want you for a moment to turn to John chapter number 15, because there's something here I want to share with you. How are we to stay connected? What's the steps to take? What's the benefits? John 15. In John chapter number 15, notice if you would in verse number 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We could stop right there, and this would conclude a lot of our problems. Meaning, we can't produce joy within ourselves. We can't produce peace of mind within ourselves. We've tried to turn new leaves. We tried to use mechanisms and self-help books, and it doesn't work. Long term, it doesn't work. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, that word abide in verse 4 and abideth in verse number 5, they literally mean, of course, the same thing, but here they mean to stay with. It means to remain. Now, we know that we could never disconnect from our union with Jesus. That came to the new birth. But we can disconnect from our communion with Jesus. And when we disconnect from our communion with Jesus, there's no joy, no peace, no patience, no long-suffering, no gentleness, no meekness. There's none of that when we disconnect from our communion. Our union, we are unified to Him. There's no disconnecting that. But our communion. And so He tells us to remain, and keep in mind, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He has preached to these boys, these apostles. He has spoke to them. He has trained them. He has taught them. But now He's getting ready to go away to the and die upon the cross and be raised again. And so He's telling them, I will not be here in person. So you need to continue to have a relationship with me spiritually. So the word abide means to remain. It means to stay. So we know that we are to remain in prayer. We know we're to remain in Bible study. But I want you to notice this. This is an example of not remaining. In John 6:66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And then the next verse goes on and says, then Jesus asked the 12, will you also go away? And then in verse number 68, I'm quoting this specifically, then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so we see here that in John 6:66, after Jesus had explained that he's the bread of life, and he's to be eaten, not his physical body, but he's to be accepted, and then his blood was shed to be drank, not in, of course, a physical sense, but a spiritual sense. And everyone got really mad at that. And there was a lot of persecution that was starting to come Jesus' way. And so Jesus says, and so John 6:66, at that time, many walked away from Him And so we told, he looked to the 12 and said, will ye also go away? Simon Peter said, Lord, where could we go? You have the words of everlasting life. And so I say that this morning, back to John 15, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I want to say that we need to stay connected to him, remain connected to him in communion. Draw our strength from him. Pray, continue in prayer to him. Reading our Bibles. So the word abide here, it means to remain. We're talking about staying connected to Christ. And then in verse 15 says this. John 15 verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So how do we stay connected to Jesus? By abiding. What happens when we stay connected to Jesus? We are able to overcome. We are able to rise above because the Bible said, without him, we can do nothing. But then without him, our joy leaks. Look in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's easy when we don't abide in him, remain in him. And while we can't walk away in salvation, we can follow the Lord from afar like Peter did. And so this morning, listen, if we're waiting on a utopia to happen, to happen in our world and everything get better, listen, his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus, it's of another world. And so I think in part of the Democrats, the liberals, and those that follow from that approach think that with their leadership and their ideas, the world is just going to get better and better and better and be this wonderful place to live, and everybody's going to get along. Church, I should not be preaching this morning if I don't tell you that that's false. But you see, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Ever since the new birth, and you've experienced it like I have if you're saved, then we are no longer part of this world system. God has put the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Holy Spirit, he is the earnest. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the down payment of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, but one day he's coming back for us to fully take us out and transport us into heaven. This world's not our home, church. We're just passing through. And while we're here, we have to maintain a consistent walk with the Lord, because this other bunch, they don't have that in their agenda. They're not thinking about heaven, and they're not thinking about Jesus coming. I want to conclude this morning with this. We'll finish up tonight. We need to stay connected. That's the battle plan. And that could be the whole battle plan with nothing more said. Stay connected. The devil loves to paralyze believers. But stay connected to him one day at a time. Try to enlarge your prayer time. Try to enlarge your Bible study time. And I am right there with you. We know that there is peace, there is joy when we stay connected to him. Let us not be like those others in John 6:66 and walk away. But let me just say that a true believer, if they ever tried to walk away, being the being a child of God, God will definitely chastise and correct and bring back. But let us not choose the world system. Let us this morning not choose to make our final dwelling place in this world. Let us abide in Him. In Him, we can do everything, church. He says, without me, you can do nothing. So with Him, we can do everything and anything He wants us to do. There's joy for you at work tomorrow. There's joy back in the family, and there's peace back in the family. Although the TV says what it says, turn that TV off, digest a little more Jesus, and watch the joy meter rise. We can have a sense of that. It's at our disposal. And of course, He says again in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Lord willing, tonight we're going to mention the second part of this battle plan, and that is to operate out of charity. Number three, stand courageously. And then look consistently. Because Jesus is coming. Let me mention this, they'll sing. Jesus is coming for His church. His second coming is in two phases. Number one, He's coming for His church. And then He's coming with His church. But the first phase, coming for His church, is the rapture. Now, you won't find that word rapture there, but you'll find caught up. Which the Greek word of caught up means harpazo, which means to catch, snatch away. One day we're going to be snatched away in a twinkling of an eye. This return of the Lord, there's the rapture. It's going to come when we least expect it. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, as a thief in the night. We're going to be mentioning this tonight, but I'll just share this with you. The return of the Lord is going to be like a woman in labor, having labor pains. There she is. I mean, and others, Lauren, others, all those that are mothers. Savannah, new mother. Y'all know every bit of what it's like to be in labor and that pain. But correct me if I'm wrong, there was a joy that overwhelmed each and every one of you when your babies came into this world. Guess what? One day He's coming back. And our sorrow is going to be turned into joy when King Jesus comes. We're not going to, somebody said, when I get to heaven, I want to know why this happened, why that happened. Go ahead and make a note and put it in your pocket. But I guarantee you, when you get there, you're going to see some family you haven't seen in a long time. You're going to see some kids you hadn't seen in a long time, Miss Glenda. I got a mama I hadn't seen in a long time. But I want to see Jesus. The one who reached down into the mire and put me in the choir. The one who went one time in my life, I was driving by Floyd Road Baptist as a teenager drinking Budweiser. But He had another plan. And one day, church, let us continue, because one day our faith will end in sight. What a day that'll be. Stay connected to Jesus. That's our battle plan. Come on, Amanda. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you come. And she gives an invitation. She sings a song of invitation. On the first verse, if you need to come, you come. Get connected.